Welcome to the Mile High Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Daniel Knowles. Thank you for joining us. And if you're listening to us on iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, whatever podcast channel, this is downloaded worldwide. Love to have you hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. And of course, make sure you have marked in your calendar, if you have not already registered, to be at Mile High 7, www.riseuptomilehigh.com. And we look forward to seeing you there. Use the savings code podcast, and you will be able to see this year the person we are interviewing right now as a guest for the Mile High Podcast, Dr. Brian Dooley. He is a 2005 graduate and a faculty member of Sherman College Chiropractic. He teaches classes in terminology, history, case history, patient education, media communications, and 33 principles. He's a chair of the newly formed business department at Sherman College, which we love that Sherman has that. He's been in private practice since 2007, and he's had an incredible work career building TV sets, working for the Braves, working in radio, and he is furthering his career by rising up to the Mile High stage. This is a new endeavor. It may be the thing he's most proud of in his career so far, but we look forward to seeing Brian Dooley at Mile High this year. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Dooley.
Thank you, Dr. Knowles. It is a pleasure to be here in the morning for the whenever this airs. It's about 8:30 Eastern time on a Saturday morning, and here you are in Colorado, and here I am in South Carolina. How about technology?
It's 6:30 Mile High time, and I'm wearing a robe. We're going with the Big Lebowski look today. So
the Dooley abides.
Yeah. You know, you might as well be comfortable, right? Yeah, so sure. I think in South Carolina, it's perfectly okay.
No, yeah, I run this long.
So, and now that being said, one of the things that I really remember in my life as a very pivotal moment was the moment that I met Dr. Brian Dooley, which is that I was attending IRAPS, I was speaking IRAPS, and we got to sit next to each other and just connected. That being said, tell people a little bit about why, in your mind, and then we'll delve a little bit deeper, since that was a starting point for our connection, why sure. IRAPS is an important part of chiropractic landscape and what IRAPS is.
Well, IRAPS stands for the International Research and Philosophy Symposium. And the idea that what Sherman College is wanting to do is bring philosophy and science together. I think when I was in school, and I'm not sure what number IRAPS that was. So I graduated 2005, and I'm not sure which one that was, but it was pretty new. And the idea was, because as you're going through school, it's like you were either a science person or you were the philosophy person. So you had to be in one camp or the other. And what Sherman recognized is that there's not two camps. There's one camp. There is a profession, which is chiropractic, centered around the location analysis and correction. Well, centered around the vertebral subluxation. Then what we need to do is ask questions about this vertebral subluxation. Is this thing, does it exist? Is it bad? And then can somebody do something about it? And so those are philosophical questions. But you and I can sit around in our bathrobes till we grow our white beards and just ponder that. Or we can find people to do some research. If it's not us, you find people to do it for you that can answer those questions. And so that's what IRAPS is trying to do. We want to raise some questions philosophically, and then we want to bring in the answers scientifically. I'm fine with evidence-based and evidence-informed practice. But it's not about finding evidence to prove me right. It's about asking the questions and finding the evidence in order to find the truth. And so I think, if somebody out there, I don't know if they would be watching it, the subluxation deniers, I'm going to ask you, I will invite you, I'll pay for your plane ticket for crying out loud, to come to IRAPS and just listen to the information. And then think about it. So put your philosophy hat on and think about it, and then maybe we can all work together, because at the end of the day, the truth is the truth, and it's going to reveal itself. And that's what IRAPS strives to do. So if somebody wants to see, well, you know, I believe in chiropractic, well, come to IRAPS, because you're going to get the philosophy side of it, and then you're going to get it backed up with the evidence side of it.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And that being said, Sherman College, as we know, the center of the chiropractic universe, right? Tell us a little bit how you found your way to Sherman College and to chiropractic.
Well, the interesting thing about chiropractic, believe it or not, had to do with a naked statue of a man in front of Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum.
Strangely, all right, I got to ask, can we continue this conversation? Is it still something we can talk about?
That's as bad as it gets. That in the road. And the reason that got me into chiropractic is that during 1984, the Olympics were in Los Angeles. So what they did was they made two bronze nude statues, one of male and one of a female, and stuck them in front of the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. And they're doing a story on these, and the male happened to be a guy named Dr. Terry Schroeder, who was on the water polo team. So good, at least they picked a guy that was fit to be in front. They wouldn't want a statue of me in front of the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. They closed the place. But anyway, so he not only was on the water polo team, but he's a chiropractor, and he comes from a family of about 30-something chiropractors. And I remember as a kid, Sports Illustrated just did an article on him and his family. And so as I read about this, that was my introduction to chiropractic. You know, and then for a while, I thought was sore necks and stiff backs. That's what they do. And then it would just sort of peek in, just come up a little bit. Either somebody was going to school as I was getting ready to graduate high school and those things. Then when I graduated college, I had a job. I was in the movie business building sets. And so I was carrying a big fan one day, and I felt my back just say, nope, you're done. And so for the next 3 days, I was having to crawl just to get around my apartment. And, you know, it was a workman injury, a workman's comp. They sent me to physical therapy is where I went. I remember looking at my x-rays of my lower back and seeing my spine straight. Didn't think anything of it, but I do remember looking at it. And so I was told I was going to have back pain for the rest of my life. I was going to have push-ups or the lumbar rolls in the morning to get some mobility. And, you know, that was kind of tough. That was a tough, I'm not going to say pill to swallow. That's outside in. That was tough just information to hear because I was 24. And so I kind of thought I had a lot of life ahead of me. But my thought was, well, yeah, I've got life, but it's going to be a life of pain. I saw how it's affected my dad, the same kind of issues, my uncle, my grandfather. We were not a chiropractic family growing up. And so I didn't think anything of it. And so several years later, that was 1995-ish, several years later, after, you know, a couple of failed corporate, I started thinking I would really like to just work for myself. If I was going to win or lose, I want it to be of my doing. And I would rather it be up to me than other people. So I was driving by a chiropractor's office, and I said, well, I can do that. You know, I'm in South Carolina, a lot of manufacturing companies. People have sore necks and stiff backs. You know, how long school? 6-9 months? Then you're out of there. And so, as I peeked at, what was that? That was a peacock, it sounded like.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I don't know what that was.
But then I said, well, where am I going to go to school? I had known about life university because I lived in Atlanta for a couple of years. So my wife and I started thinking about it. And, well, yeah, maybe I'll go live in Atlanta on the week. On the weekend, so we started thinking about it. But there was this thing called the internet that was kind of new, so I didn't Google then. You had to Google back then, or maybe I just AOL, and I might have even asked Jeeves. I can't remember what it was. But so chiropractic.
Jeeves. Oh my God, Jeeves.
Jeeves, way back in the day. But then when I looked at it, I saw that there was some school in Davenport, Iowa. And bear in mind, I knew zero of chiropractic history. So I'm like, why in the HE double hockey sticks would I go to Davenport? Then the next listing was Life. So I'd known about Life. And then I saw there was a listing for Spartanburg, South Carolina. And so at the time, and really still, I'm living an hour away from Spartanburg. So convenience, you know, you shouldn't go to any school because of convenience. but certainly convenience piqued my interest. And I went up to their, we didn't call it Sherman Showcase back then, but it was their career day. And Dr. David Koch, who was the president at the time, he opened up the career day with a talk on this thing called innate intelligence, which I had never heard about. But as he got through, I said, I already made my decision to go to Sherman. I just put up with the rest of the day because I wanted to get the free lunch at the end. But I had already made my decision because, it made perfect sense that your body is supposed to be working right. Your body does have this thing inside it that says, heartbeat beat this fast now. Now slow it down because the situation changed. And everything could go on. We've got 70 trillion cells or whatever the heck we got, and all of those need to be organized and working at 100% so that I can be 100% for my wife, for my kids, for my work, for everything. And so, the philosophy just, it just made sense. Does it make sense that your body knows what to do? So when I, it's outside right now. So my pupils didn't constrict in the sun because I sat there and did pupil exercises. They just did it, right? Because there is a response. And when I go inside and because the light's a little dimmer inside, they're going to open up. And so they're just going to do that. The breakfast I had this morning, I'm not thinking about what stuff to pull out to use and what stuff to get rid of. Innate's taking care of that. When I cut myself, it's not the Band-Aid. Innate does that. I broke my collarbone. It wasn't the brace that kept the pieces together. It was Innate that was laying down the new bone. The brace was important because it kept it in the best place it could possibly be so that Innate could do its work. So I just bought into the philosophy right away. And so I had to go back to school probably for, another 2 years or so. Because, I was a political science major. And so all you know when you're a political science major is you're going to go back to school in something other than if you can be a Jeopardy champion. That's about as what I was good for. And so when I went back to school, I had to go do my sciences, so I had to do chemistry and organic chemistry and physics and all those things. So then I started back. And so then I got to Sherman in January of 2002. So I think I started looking into Sherman about 98, 99. And then I was able to get there in early 2002. And I loved it there. And so when I left, I associated and I had an associate experience like a lot of people that wasn't as positive as maybe as it could have been. Much of that is on me as it was on the associate doctor. So if you are thinking about associating, don't necessarily pick the comfortable situation. Find the person that practices the most like you and go learn from them. Even if your dad is the other practice, or your mom. Go with the person that you're going to practice with. And so, being open for since 2007 on my own, I always liked Sherman. I like going to school at Sherman. I'm one of those guys. And so they asked, they had a job open at the health center. So I thought, well, that'll be good. Let me pass on some knowledge on my days that I wasn't adjusting, help some folks out. And then I got a call from Dr. Joe D'Onofrio, our Vice President of Academic Affairs, and he said, how'd you like to teach history and the 33 principles? And if I had to start with two classes, those would be it. And so that's how I started. And then, long story short, I'm teaching full time. I am the chair of the business department, and I go practice in the afternoon.
Awesome. And you brought up something that I think is very important, which is that you, like many, including myself, had some symptomatology, and that motivated you to seek help in the healthcare profession, right?
Right.
It was a musculoskeletal issue, pain. For me, I was a teen, and I had allergy, immune issues, and somehow that geared my family to bring me to a chiropractor or something. Found that, but here's the thing: philosophy.
Right.
The importance of a practitioner's anchoring to the philosophy, and how well they do that, and how strong they are in their understanding and their communication of philosophy, helps a person go from someone that has some symptomatology that's looking for help to someone that not only pays, but stays and refers and makes chiropractic part of their healthcare regime, right?
Right.
So, like, in teaching philosophy classes, how do you help people? What are some key things to help practitioners and students learn to do that?
Well, I mean, number one, it's okay to recognize symptoms. I mean, even if you're the straightest of the straight, because people do have symptoms. But we have to realize that what we learn philosophically is oftentimes that symptom is really appropriate for the situation because there's damage there. Mm-hmm. And so in it, trying to say, hey, I've been telling you all along with these little things, now we've got a big thing. So get something looked at. And so what's important, I think, for the students and what I love doing with the 33 principles is nowhere, not once, is the word symptom in the 33 principles. What's in there an awful lot is life. And what we're about is improving somebody's life as well as we can, given whatever choices that person's going to make. Might we be able to have some resources to guide them to make better lifestyle choices? Sure. But it doesn't matter what they choose to do. There's no way they can be the best at that without a nervous system free of interference or subluxation. And so it just, that's my job. And it's simple. You tell the patient that day one, this is what I do. And you know what they say most of the time? Oh, that makes sense. They get it. For some reason, we don't get it as the chiropractor, as a profession. And so that's probably the big thing is just, this is why, you know, we have to go through these 33 principles. To a degree, they can be confusing, just how they were written back in 1927 sometimes. Why did they pick this word versus that word? So we need to have the classes. And one of my favorite exercises is, excuse me, I have a video from Dr. Sean Dillon Lacey book that I saw Dr. Lacey at Elysium at Sherman. And so they have a patient who's wheelchair bound. He, you know, fractured his neck diving into a too shallow lake when he was about, you know, when he was a teenager. But his life was really started. So he was in the wheelchair, pretty much a quadriplegic, a little bit of use out of his arms. But he, you know, he was just crashing. He was becoming, you know, his blood pressure was really low. He was getting pumped full of steroids. And all he was doing was, was just laying in his wheelchair. Well, he, you know, of course, he was told never go see a chiropractor because he had such trauma to the neck. I think he went to two or three of them, somehow finds Dr. Sean and Lacey, and they are upper cervical chiropractors. And so they have this video of them adjusting him, just an atlas. And at the end of the video, yes, the guy's still in the wheelchair. You know, that's limitations of matter. So, and the argument could philosophically be made with a clear nervous system. Maybe he still will get out, but we don't know. But what he is able to do is pretty much enjoy his life to the best level that he can. And so that's a huge win for chiropractic. And the important part of the video that's not seen is the 60% of the visits he went to their office and did not need to be adjusted. And I think that's a huge thing that we miss chiropractically. You know, you go to seminars and you hear, will you adjust me? Well, I would rather be asked, will you check me? Because I'll adjust you if I need to. But I don't really want to have to adjust you because that means you've been living life subluxated. So I would rather somebody say, you know, can you check me? So it's important to get our words right and know that as a chiropractor, our analysis is everything. It's not hard to make a cavitation point. That's really easy to do. But are we putting a specific force at the exact right place that it's needed? That's where our philosophy, science, and art comes in.
Right, and a specific force with the intention that Nate can use it to make a change for the positive in the organization of that body, right?
Right.
And upstep that as a result of a negative, a subluxation reducing, an interference reducing, right? Like, right. Like so vital and why we do what we do. Now, that being said, another thing I'd like to ask you is business, because you are the chair of the business department, right?
Yes.
So where does learning business come into that equation also of helping a person that has symptomatology, right? Because you said something important, like I think a mistake that straight chiropractors have made, all right, in the past that is, oh, don't talk to me about my symptoms. I don't want to know about them versus, you know, you can know about them and be aware of them and not treating them. Right. I had a family member who broke their nose and so mildly and didn't get fixed. And then down the line, noticed that there was some allergic type things and sinus type issues, right? That were going on, some symptomatology relative to that system. And we went to ENT doctor, and it was very interesting because the ENT doctor very clearly said, you know, well, we can do this to straighten the structure of your nose, and this is about airflow. I don't know if it will change these symptoms with sinuses and allergies, but the airflow will improve. I'm certain of that, right? But basically said, I'm not treating your symptoms. I'm going to improve the airflow. And like, why do chiropractors have a problem doing that? And like saying that versus saying, oh, you are, you know, yes, we're going to fix your allergies, your sinuses through this versus, well, yeah, there's evidence that that does happen. But my focus is the integrity of your spine and nervous system. And if it does, if innate can make this change, hey, we'll celebrate it with you. However, you know, we're also going to really celebrate that your spine's getting healthier, right? Like, right. Why does it seem such a hard stretch?
You know, I don't know. That's a great question. And you know, the hard part is some of it too is, you know, we are, you know, people get into chiropractic and really any health because they want to help people.
Right.
That's fine. But I think what one of the keys I want to get to the students is some of the greatest help we can give a person is not doing and right. just letting their innate work. And that's probably the biggest help we can give somebody is to let them explain to them, you know, yeah, you know, you not needing to be adjusted is as good as an outcome as you not needing a root canal when you go to the dentist.
Right.
Right. Who goes to the dentist? Oh, I hope today's the day. I hope they drill your face, you know, and the hard part is right. The drilling of the face is not a pleasant experience. The hard part for us and our patients is oftentimes how many people get off the table. Oh,
yeah. The right? adjustment's a pleasure experience. Right. Right.
It is. Yeah. And so that, you know, that's the hard part that we have to deal with, but it's not the pleasure of that experience. It's the fact that that nervous system is working as well as possible.
And so now,
I was going to say for me, you know, I get checked every week.
Right.
And so, and I still get symptomatic, you know, if some little kid or whatever sneezes in my face, there's a chance there that my body's going to get a bit overrun. But what I found is I go get checked. Sometimes I get adjusted. Sometimes I don't, depending on what my chiropractor finds. But what helps me is if I don't get adjusted, the peace of mind to say, innate's on the case, doing the best that he can. And then you know what that does? That lowers my stress level. And then I end up getting over. If I'm going to get over something, I get over it a whole lot faster than somebody else that's not getting. And so, and then guess what? Innate's gone. And at the end of the, after that, innate is now stronger. So when that comes across me again, I have a response ready for it. And so long term, right? So it's, you know, we want to play the long game, not the short game. So long term, I'm living a much healthier life. I mean, I get it. People don't know that I'm 47 years old, and that's not me. I mean, my habits are okay, but most of it's due to the fact that I get my spine checked regularly. That's keeping me a little bit younger maybe than I am. I'm getting gray, so maybe it's not as easy to hide. But that being said, it's innate is giving me my youthfulness, if you will.
Right.
It's keeping me, you know, I'm glad that I'm 47 and I have the body of a 47-year-old versus I'm 47, I have the body of an 87-year-old.
And so now with that, since you're the chair of the business department,
yes.
Why does learning business strategies become important in what we're talking about?
Well, what we're about as chiropractors is keeping the body well organized, right? So you want all the cells and tissues and organs of the body doing exactly what they need to do at that exact moment so that that entity of the human being can have the best. So taking that to the business, it is hugely important to come out of school with a system that keeps that business organized. So it keeps your financial department, keeps your promo department, your front desk department, your doctor department, your marketing department, your name your departments, right? There's not a business out there that's got any different departments. They're all the same. However, right. When we're a small business, you and I as the doctor, we tend to wear a lot of different hats. And so, and that's okay. Yeah, there you go. Okay. But we have to keep things organized. What happens to the student is, you know, they're not going to typically work in a clinic like they're going to work at Sherman College, where you basically have 200 independent contractors that are sort of an associate at the same time because they're under a case doctor. So that's not going to be the entity that they're going to be working in. So we need to let them come out of school and that they have more certainty that, hey, I can do this, right? You know, one of the big things we hear about, you know, at Sherman, every quarter, as we're implementing this, where I think we're up to about quarter eight now, every quarter you're going to get some aspect of business. And the students want to think, well, all I want to know is how to do taxes. Well, my response to that is hire an accountant. And so you don't have to worry about the taxes. They're going to help you out with that, because that's kind of like saying, you know, as a liver cell, I need to try to make some blood. Well, no, you don't. The heart's there to do that. And so let that organism work. So what we want to do is get them in a mindset that's going to keep them individually in the best state of organization they can be, as far as the knowledge of how this business is going to run. And then we want to give them a system of saying, yeah, you know, you need to do this, because believe it or not, students don't know that you should call a patient after they get there. They just don't think about it. You know, see how they're doing. And that's something chiropractors do that patients love. They don't think about sending appointment reminders. They don't think you actually have to ask somebody for a referral in order to get a referral. You have to actually ask somebody to your workshop or your dinner talk or your lunch and learn. We like to think, well, I'm a good person, I'm giving them good work, they're just gonna jump on in. And so what we need to do is bring all these facets of a business system to their forefront and develop a plan for them of how to use it. So yeah, there's an intelligence. So you got intelligence, force, and matter. So you have the idea in your head, right? Trying a life of your business of, all right, this is how I want my practice to be. Now we've got the mappers, all the different components. So it's your tables, your computers, your CAs, it's you, it's your referral sources, your social media. But now we got to put some effort into it in order to have 100%. So the huge thing is, how are they, right? We want to organize ourselves, but how is their business organized? Because when it's organized through a system, it runs so much more smoother. You know, people will visit me and like, my gosh, you got so many people out of here and all you do is the Sherman system. Yeah, well, it works. And so is the big thing as far as chiropractic. But what's helping me see more people is because I'm implementing business systems that work really well. For instance, you know, if a patient misses their appointment, we have to think in the mind of a patient a little bit. They still see us as a regular doctor office, at least in the beginning.
Right.
And most doctors' offices, you miss that appointment, forget it, right? We'll see you in 3 weeks. But chiropractically, if it is a spinal check and adjustment if needed, they're not going to be in the office long. So our role is you call somebody within 8 minutes and say, hey, where you at? Oh, I didn't think I could make it in. Well, come on in. And either they can make it in that day, or things do happen where they can. We don't have any missed appointments, but we will reschedule one as soon as we quickly can, because they need to stick with their plan of care. It's not like, well, we'll pack it on to the end. We don't want to do that. We just want, all right, well, you can't see it today. Can you come tomorrow? Great. When can you come in? And now that person's coming in. So it's just, it's being able to have, it's being organized is really what it is. And for a long time, we didn't know we had major components that we learned in school, but then we didn't learn about all the threads in between that keep those components together.
Right, right. So well said. Now, last thing I'd like to follow up with is two parts. One, why are you excited? You've been to Mile High several times. Why are you excited to be at Mile High this year?
Well, I mean, I have the honor of speaking, so it's going to be interesting going an hour in front of a pretty cool group. And so hopefully I feel like I have something decent and worthy to share. So that's part of it, is being able to. One of the things that I do like to do is talk about chiropractic. I like to, because what I like to do when I speak, and I speak a little bit around the profession, and what I like the most is when people will meet me in the hallway and say, you said this, what do you think? And then we go off and we have an hour conversation sharing ideas. What I love about Mile High is that is a place where we can come together, we can share ideas, ask some questions, learn some stuff, and then we can be better chiropractors when we leave. You know, it's important to come together as a profession. You know, in the old days, you were sort of just, you were in your office. That was it. But, you know, what I love about with social media and a group like Mile High, because now I know there's people that go to Mile High that are nearby me. So I've got like-minded resources that I can contact in order to be a better chiropractor, a better professor, a better family member, all those types of things. So it's a gathering of tremendous people. The content is second to none. And you're going to learn something in a way that you don't even feel like you're learning. And so I love that, you know, people look at me, well, why do you go on these trips on the weekends? I like hanging out with my friends. And, you know, that particular weekend, my friends are going to be in Westminster, Colorado. And, you know, thin air is for, or thick air is for slackers. If you can handle the thin air, handle it. But it,
oh, yeah,
it is. It's a great group. When you, you know, you walk in the door of the hotel, you see the faces. Even, you know, this will be my third, even the first year that I did it, you just felt, you walked in and you felt like this is exactly where I'm supposed to be. This is my home for the weekend. And so, and, you know, so you always have a home at Mile High, which is just a wonderful feeling. And, you know, we don't all agree on things. You know, we can sit, but we converse. We don't argue. And we can converse, we can debate. And that's making the profession better to where, you know, if you do, you know, I can hear a speaker say something and then I can get right on Facebook and contact them, or, you know, send them an email. And then next thing you know, there's discourse going. So it's not just learning when you're in the seminar. It's learning in the hallways. It's learning at the gatherings at the end of the day. And then there's the learning that goes on after the event, between that and the next event, which will raise some more questions that you can ask about at the next one. So it's just a wonderful thing that you guys do out there. And I, you know, Sherman College sends me a lot of places. Mile High is one of those ones that I put on my own dime because I think it's that important a place to be for me.
Well, and we appreciate that. And there's something that is the essence of what you said in what I heard is, you know, growth. Like growth can have, community is part of growth, and growth happens individually, but also in community. And so that's one of the things people love about Mile High is the community, for sure. So thank you so much for joining us today on this podcast in your birth bathrobe. It's a first, and thank you.
As far as you know, I got pants on.
Okay, good. I'm glad, and so do I. Thank you for joining us at Mile High. If you have not reserved your seats for yourself and your team, and always bring your team. If you've not reserved a space for you and your team, www.riseuptomilehigh.com. Use the savings code DOOLEY, okay? DOOLEY, all right? And join us. And you will be glad that you did. Never miss a Mile High podcast. Hit subscribe so that you get notified when we have a new episode. And we look forward to seeing you a Mile High. Like our page on Facebook, www.facebook.com/milehighchiro.